Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TIC, and Light 100.5 WRCH. Our guest this morning is Republican State Senator Tony Huang of Fairfield. We're going to be discussing the State of Connecticut Insurance Department's approval of health insurance rate hikes just about a week ago. Good morning, Senator. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Morgan. Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm happy you're here, and this is definitely, for some, a complicated issue. We were talking about that before the show today, and I think that we just have to start off with a basic summary, which is usually what I do. You know me by now. Let's just start off with a summary. What's going on with these health insurance rates that have been increased?
Well, we just had an approval process by the Connecticut Department of Insurance under the Lamont administration, which took the requested rate increases for health insurance coverages for individuals and small businesses or small group plans. And that's the important part, is that individuals who are sole proprietors or buying programs for themselves and their loved ones and employees are covered under this plan, which is very different than large companies like Sikorsky, Pratt Whitney. These large entities, they are called self-insured. And even though you get a bill and administrative fees when you're with Pratt Whitney from Anthem or Aetna, these companies self-insure, meaning that they pay and manage the whole program. So they're not covered under this bill or rate increase. So it's really the small engine of our economy, individuals, sole proprietors, and small businesses that are facing the brunt of this. And it is a staggering brunt, Morgan. We have seen double-digit increases for the past 10 years. It's almost like a straight line up, not even a curve. It's been a straight line up, and this year was no different. These insurers asked for increases ranging from 15% to 12% increases from a year past where they almost got a double-digit increase. It's a compounding effect. So it has truly become unaffordable and unsustainable in regards to insurance cost. And if insurance wasn't such an important part of the human connectivity, from the standpoint that if you or your loved ones get sick or suffer a catastrophic illness, you want them to get the best care possible, and that could cost you a fortune and a half. And so insurance is critical to ensure that you get the best medical care at the cost that you can afford down the line. And the problem is it's become unaffordable. And so just this past week, the insurance industry got a increase granted by the insurance department. They asked an individual market an average about 12.4, and they gave him, the state gave them, a 9.4% increase for individual policyholders. And for small businesses and small groups, they requested almost a 15% increase, and they reduced it to 7.4. Now, the insurance department released a statement saying they did a yeoman's job, and they reduced these rates considerably. And they did. And I applaud them in regards to their efforts to do that. But nevertheless, 9.4% increase compounded from the past years for individuals and 7.4 for small groups is unaffordable. I mean, we're talking about increases that force people to make decisions between food on their table, clothing for their children, and paying mortgages to ensure that they have health care. That has become really the calling cry, is the fact that, where does this stop? And what we did was, normally the public hearing that occurs is a process where the insurers present their actuarial analysis of medical cost, what it costs them to be able to provide coverage for these kind of care. And that is pretty much it. And you don't have a lot of evidentiary exchange asking them about different parts of their business and really finding out if truly their cost, and as they're presented, are true or most efficient. So what we did last week or the weeks before, Senator Kevin Kelly and myself wrote to the insurance commissioner. The meeting normally occurs in the middle of summer at a building in the insurance department. what we requested was to have a more transparent, accountable meeting. So we had it at the Capitol with a public airing and exchanges of questions and a line of inquiries from myself and many others. But unfortunately, it still did not meet the mark of getting a lot of the information. As one of my fellow senators, Senator Cabrera, mentioned is, we didn't get a lot of forthrightness and a lot of real information. And to kind of summarize it where it really hurts people and really gets them angry beyond the exorbitant costs on a monthly basis for health insurance, it's important, is that they are footing the cost at an escalating rate while at the same time as these companies are crying poor, they're providing millions in their senior executive compensations, and they're having record profits on Wall Street. It really seems conflicting that there you are asking for double-digit increases from hardworking consumers to get necessary services for their loved ones and health care. At the other end, you're paying millions and dividends and record earnings on Wall Street. It seems to be just flip-flopped around. So what we try to do in the hearing was to say, where are you getting these profits? And shouldn't they be part of the review process that we should offset the cost to the consumer of who you're supposed to serve? Are you serving Wall Street or are you serving Main Street? It seems to be very much tilted toward Wall Street at the cost of consumers, and that's where the outrage has been.
Obviously, the legislative session isn't too far away, just a few months away. And this morning on Face Connecticut, our guest is Republican State Senator Tony Wong of Fairfield. What happens next? Is there going to be another public hearing? I believe that this issue is going to come up in the next legislative session, no?
Morgan, this is an issue that, as long as the day is, has been discussed. Senate Republicans have been a leader. Senator Kevin Kelly, my mentor in this area, has been a relentless leader and advocate in fighting this. And just in the past number of years, this is ongoing 5, 6, 7 years. Every year that there's been an increase, there's been an outrage. But what we did was we proposed solutions. So let's just put this. We cannot be just saying no. We have to provide solutions. And the solutions that we looked at as Senate Republicans was to say, we have some of the most influential, some of the smartest people in the insurance industry right here in Connecticut, the insurance capital of the world. We need to collaborate and partner with them and ask for greater transparency and accountability, but at the same time also utilize their expertise and actuarial experience to craft a plan that can contain cost. So a number of solutions were proposed in the past number of years, and I'm happy to say that we have seen some success, at least on the on-road. So one of the points that we did was called benchmarking. Benchmarking is really a data analysis of saying that a hospital in Putnam and in Willimantic could be charging one rate versus another in Litchfield and in Greenwich. They could range from 30 to 40% for the same knee replacement procedure. So what we looked at was to create benchmarking, which Massachusetts and many other states have done, is to say, let's get that data in pricing. Let's find out if indeed there is such a variance and why. Because a knee surgery is knee surgery, but what we passed with the collaboration and the support of Governor Lamont and the administration, it was put in as a COVID emergency in regards to benchmark initiating. A year and a half ago, we passed the bill that outlined legislative mandate for benchmarking. And what we yielded this past year from that data point was some real data to say, look, you can't get to solve a problem if you don't know where the problem is. So what we did in benchmarking, and this was led by Senate Republicans and working with the governor's office and a bipartisan eventual passage, benchmarking was in place. And what we found was the fact that there were wide variances in medical cost deliveries across different parts of the state. And what we also looked at was the true high cost of medical care. Most people with insurance don't really fully understand and look at their bills in regards to how much it costs to get health care delivery. You know, for example, emergency room visits will cost thousands of dollars, and most people don't see it. They have a copay of $100 or $200, and it's high enough, but what they don't realize is the full cost of these hospitals charging. An ICU stay, where you don't want any of your loved ones to do, but most people don't understand. You pay the insurance and the copay, and it's about $1,000 or $2,000. Most people don't realize that an ICU stay per day could average close to $30,000 to $50,000 a day.
Right.
Those are exorbitant costs. So what we did was, through benchmarking, take a look at some of these healthcare costs, because, and they are truly just staggering. Most people don't know it. We need to be educated. Another part that we wanted to be able to do and propose and was stifled was to use reinsurance. Most insurance companies in other areas, property and casualty and reinsurance, they use reinsurance all the time to kind of diffuse and level out the highs and lows of spikes in cost. If we made the investment in reinsurance and put money in using either federal funds or state funds, we could have potentially, and this is a study from the Connecticut Healthcare Exchange. This wasn't Senate Republicans. It wasn't a politically biased or a think tank group, liberal or Republican or conservative. This was an objective analysis, and they said reinsurance as a product that's been demonstrated in the insurance industry could have potentially saved individuals close to 30% on their premium by minimizing spikes in risks. Why are we not doing that? That is another example of our leadership and solution that I hope we will undertake. Another area was, in a bipartisan basis, in the insurance committee, through the efforts of the chairs and myself as ranking, we proposed an association health plan. It's simply this. Associations like Chambers of Commerce, your Rotary, your Kiwanis clubs, could form an affinity group, and as a result of that, be able to pool their membership to be able to give a larger pool of risk management and a lower premium. That sounds like a great idea, and it existed before the Affordable Care Act and many other states that we did our research on and modeling. Virginia was tremendously successful. What it did was, what we saw in the increase, the remarkable stunning increase in an individual small group market, is association health plans could be a resource for them instead of going into the exchange, that they could have that kind of diffusion and a pool of risk management to lower their rates and premiums. I cannot understand. It was truly bipartisan in the committee. Democrats, Republicans, and the administration, I hope, supported it. But would you believe it, Morgan? It never crossed the finish line, and no one would stand up and say why. That's another example of the frustration. We have solutions that could make a dent in these unsustainable, unaffordable costs, but politics gets in the way, and we have to do far better than that.
Well, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you about. As far as reforms go, it's great if you've got ideas, but they have to actually pass. Now, that's interesting. You say it was bipartisan, but it didn't get anywhere. Will there be another push to make that happen in the upcoming legislative session if that bipartisan support truly is there?
Absolutely. In fact, as we talk about it right now, in a bipartisan basis with the chairs of the Insurance and Real Estate Committee and myself and many other industry, Chambers of Commerce's, CBIA, are working to address wherever the concerns that kind of derail this. This is another part of the solution. And on the heel of these unaffordable cost increases, we have to provide solutions. That's where us as legislative leaders need to put politics aside. There is no one good way. There is no Republican way. There's no Democratic way. There is the best way in providing market solutions. I'll tell you another area that we have worked really hard on based on the leadership of Senator Kelly and the leadership of our committee is to look at prescription drugs. Prescription drugs, based upon the latest rate request, Morgan, increased from 11% to 19% from a year ago. And prescription drugs, when you need it, And the problem is these costs continue to increase uncontrollably. And so one of the things that we passed through and led on was to look at pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs as they're called. So when you have a prescription program, in the back you get a prescription card. It's either Caremark or various other, or CVS, these benefit managers negotiate with drug companies to set the rate of what drugs they will cover at what cost. They're an incredibly valuable resource in being able to manage the prescription drug challenge and the merit of cost analysis and efficiencies between generic drugs, between branded names, and PBMs have an important role. But here's a problem on that, Morgan, and most people don't understand. Most of these PBMs, and there's only a few, there's five or six of them out there, and they're huge. They're a virtual oligopoly in regards to PBMs. Here's the problem that people don't know. Most of these PBMs, Morgan, are owned by insurance companies themselves. Aetna owns CVS Caremark. Anthem is starting their own. ConnectiCare, UnitedHealthcare, they have their own PBMs. And a recent article that just came out yesterday in the Wall Street Journal that said literally that the cost of prescription drugs, I'll give you an example that was given to me, that a cancer drug, Gleevec, that went generic in 2016, which would have significantly reduced the cost, right, can now be bought today for as little as $55 a month, okay?
Okay.
But many patients' insurance plans are still paying more than 100 times that. CVS and Cigna can charge $6,600 a month or more for Gleevec prescriptions when they could charge $55 a month. And guess what? That margin on how they manage the PBMs eventually goes back to the profit and loss analysis of the big corporation of CVS, Aetna, and Cigna. So when we talked about the investigation into how other parts of their business should supplement the cost of how they deliver healthcare insurance, this is a great example. Why are we not looking at their business practices in regards to ownership of PBMs and the margins that they make in that business, which is not transparent, not reportable? Why are we not looking at that to offset the cost that we are imposing on consumers? These are questions we're going to ask more of our insurers. It is not any different, Morgan, than the challenges and the taking to task of our utilities. When we had rate increases that occurred because of natural gas spikes, and our legislative review process or the agency, PURA, had to look at utilities, there was nothing we could do because we could only look at their cost in procuring the energy source. We can't look into other parts of their business. And so we legislatively have now pushed in the utilities to demand greater transparency and accountability for our larger utilities and how they do business. We need to do more of that model with our health insurers and the cost of doing business rather than strictly imposing it on the unfortunate pocketbooks of our consumers.
And would that just fall on the state legislature or also the Connecticut Insurance Department?
Well, I will say this. There's been some criticism of the insurance department. Let me be clear. We have one of the best insurance departments in the country. They are following the rules and regulations that's been set. And based upon the facts that they are allowed to review, they have to provide that. Now, we need to give them more tools legislatively to inquire and demand greater transparency and accountability. So it has to be a complete team effort. I have complete confidence that when legislatively we empower them with these kind of powers to demand greater transparency and accountability, I think we'll get better results. But in regards, we all have to work together, but I'm very, very, very confident that Commissioner Andrew Mace and the various members that I have very high regard for, even though I'm not happy with their decision, But nevertheless, I think for us, we have to get to work legislatively in a bipartisan basis and leave politics out of it to be able to implement plans. But at the same time, Morgan, it's important, we can't go too far to the other extreme, to literally throw out the bathwater with a baby and say, health insurers, they have no place at all. Let's have a government-managed program. The reality is government has never demonstrated its ability and the capacity to be able to manage this huge cost and operational challenge. We need to collaborate with the best of talents in the insurance industry with the partnership of great need and a focus on how we can provide consumer challenges. So we all need to work together, but the idea for some of my colleagues to go the other end to have a public option, a state or federal funded one payer system, it sounds great. It takes every equation out of the table in some ways. But ultimately, just as we learned the Affordable Care Act, you're not getting the same health care, you're not getting the same access, you're not getting it at the same cost. If something sounds too good to be real, it is too good to be real.
That leads me to maybe my last question for our Face Connecticut episode this week with Republican State Senator Tony Wong of Fairfield. You mentioned that there is a level of bipartisanship on this issue. Are there any ideas coming from Democrats that you like, Senator?
I do. Senator Cabrera, who I have great regard for, is the chair of insurance. Representative Kerry Wood, who is the chair, as well as Representative Kara Pavlock. D'Amato, the ranking in the House, Republicans, we work very well together, and we're united in this concept. So I think the first thing is looking at the examples we talked about to reduce cost. Number two, to demand a greater transparency and accountability in the rate review process, maybe even during the interim of the process with our health insurers. So there has been a proposal being under consideration to demand more transparency, more accountability in these rate request hearings, and I truly support that. The third is we have to work out the devils in the details and some of the partisanship that may occur in regards to reinsurance for funding. We may need to look at the aspect of looking at association health plans to provide alternative options in the marketplace. But also, I think the other part is looking at how we all work together. It should not be who gets credit, but if some ideas are way too good and credit may be given in a political environment, people just don't do it, and that's not right. We need to provide the best and highest care to people. Health care is not an option. Health care, when your loved ones are at risk, there is no negotiations. You want to make sure that they are healthy, they recover, and they come back to us. We are truly looking forward to making changes, but it has to make changes in understanding the true cost of healthcare, which benchmarking will help, but it also includes not only health insurers, Morgan, it includes our doctors, it includes our hospitals, includes our medical device equipment. We look at prescription drug companies, and we look at legal tort reform. It is an entire ecosystem where everybody has a financial vested interest in this. And make no mistake about it, we're going to be confronted with strong lobbying to kind of change the status quo. Because at the end of the day, those organizations are getting paid, and it's coming at a cost of the consumer, and this is where we have to find a manageable balance.
Senator Wong, thank you for joining me on Face Connecticut this morning. I really appreciate it.
Morgan, thank you, and you have a great week.
You too. Thank you.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.